dear God, we are thankful, Lord, for the gift of life, and we are thankful for all of the blessings of life that you have given us. We're thankful for the opportunity this evening, Lord, that we have to come together via the telephone, Lord, to hear a gospel message. We pray, Lord, that in the course of this gospel meeting, that the things we do and say are according to the oracles that you have given us. We pray, Lord, that with these instructions, according to the teaching of the gospel, Lord, that we preach those tenets that are necessary for someone to believe and to obey. We pray, Lord, that we never stray from that form of doctrine which is able to save men's souls. We ask for prayer for Brother Ruiz this evening, Lord, that in his delivery of the message of the Great Commission, that he teach us all and remind us, Lord, what we all must do to be saved. Lord, if there is someone seeking truth this evening, we pray, Lord, that Brother Ruiz stand in their path with the gospel, holding them accountable to what your word commands them to do. Pray, Lord, that that person's heart is pricked so that they can be added to the church and be baptized into the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask us that you continue to bless us with the increase. We are thankful for the restorations that have also taken place. And pray for all of our speakers, that you can continue to bless them in their ministries and in their efforts, Lord. Lord, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and thank you for having this meeting call. And to all of those who are on the call tonight that are not members of the Church of Christ, you're our VIP of the audience. We pray now that you will get your Bible, open it up, and follow along with our speaker tonight, and especially pay attention to the things that he will talk about as it pertains to your soul salvation. Our speaker tonight that's coming into your home for 30 minutes is the person of Brother Joe Rez, and he will speak on the subject, the truth about the Great Commission. He is currently serving on the oversight of the elders of the South Haven Church of Christ in South Haven, Mississippi, and he's a missionary worker. So we're thankful that I know he's busy, but he's taking the time tonight to help us with this program. Brother Joe, will you tell us the truth about the Great Commission at this time?
What a great joy and what a great blessing it is to study God's Word with you this evening via this nationwide conference call. It is truly a great blessing to be able to study God's Word in such a powerful way that Brother Tommy and others are working to get the gospel out. It is a privilege for me to have been working as a missionary under the oversight of the godly elders of the South Haven Church of Christ now for over 10 years, and we're so thankful to be a part of that great work. In a remarkable response to Peter's acknowledgement of his deity, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord said to him in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 16, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Brothers and sisters and friends that are listening in this evening, with that tremendous statement, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ promised to build his church. Question, why did Jesus build his church? For what purpose? What is the reason for our existence as the church of our Lord? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the inspired record tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground or the support of the truth. Furthermore, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says that the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, is to be made known through the church. And then again in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, we read that God is to be glorified in the church throughout all ages. Friends, brothers and sisters, from these three passages of Scripture, we can properly deduce this evening that the distinguishing and primary task of the Church of our Lord is the evangelization of the world, to make known the manifold wisdom of God to all peoples of the world in order that the church might glorify God by doing the preaching of the gospel. Prior to our Lord's ascension back to glory to be seated at the right hand of the Father, you recall that in Matthew chapter 28 and in Mark 16, he commissioned his apostles saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Mark records it this way. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Brothers and sisters and friends, the task of telling the world of our Savior is so enormous that I'm confident that the apostles, the 12 that initially received this great commission, did not fully comprehend the magnitude of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. They simply began carrying it out. They simply began from Jerusalem, then to Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. Why did they do this? Because they were convicted and they were totally committed to the point of renouncing themselves completely in the Master's use. They left their nets, they left their livelihoods in order to become fishers of men. And brothers and sisters, we can and we must do the same in our day and age. We have to in order to get the gospel out to all parts of the world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, if you follow along with me in your Bibles, our Lord set forth in this one verse the pattern of world evangelism on a global level. When he said to the apostles, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want you to notice something that perhaps sometimes we fail to emphasize in this passage. Notice that they were to begin in Jerusalem. Then it says, and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to notice something, that it does not say, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then unto the uttermost part of the earth." It doesn't read that way. You see, "and" is a coordinating conjunction that connects two things of equal value together. For example, in Mark 16 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Both belief and baptism are required in order for one to be saved. Now, going back to Acts 1 and 8, here is the pattern for world evangelism. He tells them, you begin preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. And while continuing to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, you begin in all Judea and in Judea. And now while continuing to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea, you also begin at the same time in Samaria. And now while continuing to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, you also take it unto and unto the uttermost parts of the earth or the world. And so the point is this. They did not have to evangelize Jerusalem completely before they would begin in all Judea. No, they began Jerusalem, and then they would begin also in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. And so you begin in Houston, Texas. And while continuing to preach the gospel in Houston, Texas, you reach out to other parts of Texas. Let's say you go to Austin, Texas. And now while continuing to preach the gospel to Jerusalem, or to actually in Houston And then in Austin, you take on another state. Now you go to Arkansas. And while continuing to preach the gospel in Arkansas, you take on Oklahoma. And then while continuing to preach the gospel in Oklahoma, you take on Wyoming. And while continuing to preach the gospel in Wyoming, now you go to another country and you go to Canada. And while continuing to preach the gospel in Canada, unto the uttermost part of the world. And that's how world evangelism, the Great Commission, is carried out, my brothers and sisters and friends. Let me ask you this question as we continue to study this evening. What is the heart of New Testament Christianity? What is the heart of it? Let me point you to three passages of Scripture. In John 3 and verse 16, a passage that all of us can quote, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Notice it says that God loved the world. Then in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, John says that he, that is Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, he says, but notice, but for the sins of the world, the whole world. And then in Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You see, God never intended for the gospel to reside in just one country, in one culture, in one nation, in one language, in one race of people. No. How do we know that that was not God's intention? Because in Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2 and you follow along with me and notice when the church had its beginning on the day of Pentecost, I want you to pay attention as to what occurred on this Pentecost. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them." Now notice verse 4 in particular. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues." That's other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. What was happening here? The Holy Spirit was giving them a miraculous gift to be able to speak in other languages which they had never studied before. Now, why did the Holy Spirit do this? Notice what it says in verse 6. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." In his own language, they were able to understand the message that the apostles were speaking, were preaching, were teaching. Notice what it says in verse 8. They asked the question, "How hear we every man in our own tongue," that is our own language, "wherein we were born?" And so they're speaking, the apostles are speaking in a language they'd never studied before. But where these people that were gathered together on the day of Pentecost, they could understand it because it was the language, their native language, the one that they were born speaking from a child. And you remember on this occasion on the day of Pentecost, there were some 16 nations, if you read from chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that were gathered together there. And so this is something that we need to understand from the very depths of our hearts this evening, that God did this through the Holy Spirit to be able to get the gospel out to all nations of the world. Let me illustrate it to you this way. My native language, I was born in Peru, and so I grew up speaking Spanish. But for 21 years, my wife and I and our children, we served the Lord in Southeast Asia, and we worked among the Chinese people, and we learned how to speak Mandarin Chinese. And so Spanish was my native language. When I immigrated with my mother and father, they immigrated to the United States, I learned English as the second language. And then as we did missionary work in Southeast Asia for 21 years, then we learned Mandarin Chinese as the third language. And so in Acts 2:38, when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," if there were some Chinese present on that day, then Peter or one of the other apostles would have spoken in Mandarin Chinese, the same Acts 2:38, "Be the shore, ni men guren, ya hui gai, feng yesu jitu de ming shou jin, jo bi ling shou so to the sunli." And if there were some Spanish-speaking people there on Pentecost, then another apostle, which has said it in Spanish, Pedro dijo, "Arrepentíos y bautícense cada uno de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para perdón de pecados y recibiréis el don del Espíritu Santo." And so I have illustrated with you this evening three different languages that they spoke the very same thing, and that is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so today we don't have the miraculous gifts to be able to speak in other languages that we've never studied before. But listen carefully. That does not release us of the responsibility, the privilege, the obligation that we have to learn other languages so that we might reach the untold millions of people that have not yet heard the language or the gospel in their own language. What we need to do is develop that same evangelistic zeal, that spirit that characterized the early church. As the Apostle Paul, he said he was ready to become all things to all men in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19 down to verse 23. He said he was willing to become all things to all men. Why? That he might be able to win them to Christ. And so we have to become more effective soul winners if we're going to preach the gospel on a global level. Let me ask you this, another question. What is world evangelism? Because what we're speaking this evening, what we're talking about this evening is the Great Commission, the truth about the Great Commission, and that involves world evangelism. What is world evangelism? Let me suggest to you that it has two ingredients. Number one, it requires getting there. And number two, it involves telling the story. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by the first ingredient. In order for you to carry out world evangelism, you have to get there. And that involves transportation. You can either walk, you can ride a horse or a mule. You can go in automobile, or you can ride a train, or you can fly in a plane. You can get on a boat or a ship, but you have to what? You have to get there one way or another to carry out world evangelism. And the second ingredient is telling the story, that is, preaching the gospel. And that involves communication. Communication. You can either do it through radio, you can do it through television, you can do it through a nationwide conference call using a cell phone like we're doing, or a phone. You can do it through the printed page, through tracts and Bible materials. You can do it through internet. You can do it through personal contact. So many ways. But you have to preach the gospel. You have to tell the story. And so it involves two ingredients, transportation and communication. And you know what, brothers and sisters and friends? The early church got the job done. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, the record says, that they went from house to house teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says that they turned the world upside down. And when you get down to Acts 19 and verse 10, it tells us that they went throughout the Roman Empire preaching Christ. Now notice, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. And if you drop down to verse 20 of Acts 19, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, brothers and sisters, friends, persecution paved the way for proclamation. And opposition opened wide the doors of opportunity. And they did it without the modern-day means of transportation and communication, which we have today. But they still got the job done. And we also today, we must get the job done. They were able to do it. We can do it. Today, we have all the advantages. We have jet airplanes. We have radio. We have television. We have the internet. We have cable. We have all of these advantages, and we're still not getting the job done like the early church did. We have every power but willpower, and that's what's needed the most. The Lord's church, brothers and sisters, must become zealous in evangelism, in world evangelism, like the early Christians did. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, cannot, must not remain an entity of timid, indifferent individuals who do not know how to use the riches which we have, which God has blessed us with, in order to propagate the Christian faith. Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't become Christians to hide our talents. No, we become Christians to use our talents. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, friends, God has authorized only His church, the church of Christ, to evangelize the world. God has never at any time or place authorized the denominations to teach their man-made doctrines, their false doctrines. Why, the record says in Matthew 15 and verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, is the binding duty of the church of our Lord. It should always be remembered that as a divine institution, the church of Christ has a divine mission. It's neither political nor social, but it's altogether spiritual. It's spiritual in its design. And its concern is not the entertainment of people, but the saving of souls. So it's not the world. It's not the denominations. It's not the school systems. It's not certainly not the government, but Christians, New Testament Christians, that are in charge of telling the world about the love of God, about the salvation that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, 2 Timothy 2:10. About the oneness of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Ephesians 4, 4. Yes, indeed, the primary mission of the New Testament church, the church of Christ, is to evangelize the world. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned this evening because we have many members of the body of Christ who have heard the gospel all of their lives, that think that saving souls is some kind of a divine calling for a select few. No. Each of us, if you're a New Testament Christian, if you've been baptized for the remission of sins and been added by the Lord to His church, then you have to learn to throw out the lifeline. You see, evangelism, the Great Commission, is not an option for you if you're a New Testament Christian. It's not something that we just talk about in our Bible classes every now and then, or preach from our pulpits every now and then. No. Church leaders are going to have to get out and lead the way. Elders, deacons, preachers, Bible class teachers. are going to have to set the proper example. And as we do that, then the membership as enlarged, the members enlarged will follow. However, I'm concerned because indifference, apathy with regard to the Great Commission, world evangelism, brothers and sisters, it's killing the church. Good intentions alone will vanish away. Oh, yes, we need to do that. Oh, yes, I know we need to get excited. But good intentions are going to vanish away. It's men of action that we need that will get the job done. I'm reminded in 1962, the late General Douglas MacArthur, speaking to a class at West Point, made an observation that I believe it would be well for us today, this evening, to learn from as we apply it to the spiritual realm. General MacArthur, speaking to a class at West Point, looking into the eyes of those young cadets, he said to them, your mission remains fixed. It's determined. It's inevitable. It is to win wars. And everything else in your professional careers is corollary to this vital dedication. All other purposes will find others for their accomplishments. But you young cadets are the ones who have been trained to fight. And brothers and sisters, friends, when we come to understand such a principle with respect to the Lord's commission given unto us, then will the people of the world begin to understand the fiber of Christianity. Because you see, we, as the Church of Christ, we are those soldiers of the cross. And we have been given our marching orders by our commander-in-chief when he told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And nothing must ever come between us and helping to carry out that great commission of our Lord. Nothing. Our Lord commanded his followers, the Church of Christ, you and me, to preach the gospel to the whole world. Brothers and sisters, we ought to return each day to the Lord doing his work as long as there's time and opportunity. And when we do this, let me assure you, God will give the increase. He's promised us that. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, he promised us that his word would not return unto him void, but it would accomplish what he sent it forth to do, the purpose. Brothers and sisters, there's so much to do. There's so much to do here at home and on foreign soil. But did you know this? I'm going to give you two sets of statistics as we begin to wrap this lesson up. Did you know that about 90% of our gospel preachers are only preaching to about 10%, only about 10% of the world's population whose mother tongue is English. That means if 90% of our preachers are preaching to only about 10% of the world's population whose mother tongue is English, that means that only about 10% of our gospel preachers are preaching the gospel to about 90% of the world's population who speak in other languages. That's one statistic, but let me give you another one. Did you know that about 70% of all Christians, members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, live in 8 of our southern states? I'm talking about only 70% or 70% of New Testament Christians that live in the United States live in 8 of our southern states, like Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, Kentucky, and Florida. And so we need to get busy and evangelize the other 42 states of our nation. Let me ask you this question. If you saw this evening 10 men carrying a telephone pole, and 9 men were on the one end of the telephone pole and just 1 on the other end, to which end of the telephone pole would you go to if you wanted to help those 10 men carry that log? Would you go to where the 9 already are, or would you go to where the 1 person is all by himself carrying that telephone pole. That gives you an idea that we have to get out and begin to evangelize up in our northern states where the church is few and far between. On April 25th, 1958, Brother H.A. Dixon was asked the question, what is the basic underlying reason why churches don't send the preachers and preachers don't go in evangelizing the world? And here's what Brother Dixon said. Brother H.A. Dixon, president of Fried Hardeman College at that time, addressing a chapel audience, he said, the real reason is that we have never convinced ourselves that the world is lost without the gospel, and that we are lost if we don't carry the gospel to them. Brothers and sisters, why don't we carry out the Great Commission like we should? It's simple. If we really believe that the world is lost, and if we believe that we're going to be lost if we don't carry the gospel to them, we would move heaven and earth to get the gospel then to those that are lost. You know, we may not love the souls of men and women like we should, but one thing is for certain. Most people do not want to go to hell for all eternity. And so we need to get busy, brothers and sisters, preaching that plan of salvation. And if you're listening this evening, I want to tell you what you need to do to become a New Testament Christian so that you can also be added to the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, and begin to help us carry out the Great Commission of our Lord. You need to, first of all, hear the word of the Lord like you're hearing it this evening, because in Romans 10 and verse 10 and verse 17, it says, in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you must first hear the word like you're hearing it this evening. In the second place, upon hearing the word of God, you must believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. And in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in the third place, upon hearing it and believing it, then that will convict you to want to repent of your sins. And Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish, in Luke 13 and 3. In Acts 17 and verse 30, it says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Upon repenting of your sins, you're now ready to confess the sweet name of Jesus with your mouth. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And upon confessing Jesus with your mouth, you're now ready to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 22 and verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when you do that, the Bible says in Acts 2:47 that the Lord will add you to his church, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church those that were being saved. And if you live faithfully, Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, you will receive that crown of life that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. Brothers and sisters and friends, that's God's beautiful plan of salvation. And our prayer this evening is that you will render obedience to the gospel so that you one day can spend an eternity with the Lord and with all the redeemed in heaven. Thank you so much, and may God bless you for listening to this message from God's holy word.
Brother Joe, we appreciate you so very much for reminding those of us in the Church of Christ about the importance of carrying the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm thankful that we are utilizing this avenue of the phone and conference to visit in the homes of our friends, family, and loved ones. What we're trying to do tonight is to come into your home and all the nation all over this United States, in every state. We're trying to get this gospel into the homes of those who don't know the truth. Simply is this. If you're on the call tonight, you have never heard the truth. You heard it tonight. You heard what you must do to be saved. You heard the command from our Lord to take it to those who need to hear this truth. If you're on the call tonight, you say, I want to be a New Testament Christian and take this gospel to the world. I want to carry out this great commission while I'm living. Why don't you do this for us? Get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them, I want to be born again. I want to be baptized. I want to follow that beautiful plan of salvation Brother Joe has told us about tonight. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then the Lord will add you to the church he talked about, which is the one true church, the church of Christ. And join us as soldiers of the cross, taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. But first, you can't take it to the world until you realize you're lost. We hope you will obey. We pray you obey. You say, I got questions, Brother Brooks. I want to be baptized, but I have questions. Get back with the person who put you on the call. Tell them you got questions. Tell them you want to get baptized. We'll get somebody to you to teach you further. If you're ready, we'll get someone to you to baptize you and take care of you. No matter where you are, wherever you're listening, we'll find someone to take care of the baptism for you. You can email us. If you want to contact, just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Say that again. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you just say, you know what, I just want to listen to Brother Joe one more time. I want to listen to other speakers that we've heard, other subjects, other topics that may be of interest to you to help you make your decision. Go to our website, HighlandHeightsCoc.net. HighlandHeightsCoc.net. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for so very much for all you've done for us. Thank you for loving the world, for loving us. While we were yet sinners, you would send your Son. We thank him. As he stated to us in your word, that greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. We thank you for his shedded blood that will wash our sins away. And that same blood that purchased his bride, his church, the church of Christ. Lord, we pray for our visitors, those who are not members, those who have not been washed in the blood, those who are caught up in doctrines and commandments of men, that they obey this truth before it's everlasting and eternally too late. That they too can become soldiers of the cross. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. It is my prayer. You have a peaceful night's rest. Good night.